So we're talking about Own the Vision. We're talking about our vision because we're moving into our AGM about what we want to do, where we want to go, how we want to get there, and what that looks like. And today, I want to talk a little bit about serving. And so let me just pray before I read the scripture, and then we'll get right to it. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we have the freedom here in this country at this point in time in our lives to meet together and to have the beliefs that we have without fear of persecution. But those days could change, and like other countries where we could be persecuted for our faith. So, Lord, help us to not take this for granted. Help us to reach out to as many people as we can. Thank you for your word, and bless it as we read it in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 45. I'm going to read it for you, and then we'll get into messages. It's not super long today because the points are very direct. It says this: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" It's getting a little heavy, but don't worry, we're gonna work our way out of that. "For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of least of these, you did not do for me.'" So, it's fitting that we talk about clothing the homeless on a day like today, when we talk about this scripture. Now, I'm not meaning to scare you with this. What I'm going to pull out of this scripture is something that is very important, and I believe you'll be able to take it home with you, you'll be able to chew on it for a little while, and you'll understand it. It's very easy in our everyday lives to walk by the homeless. Now, obviously, there's safety issues. There's a lot of things you need to have common sense about. But it's easy to not look at them. It's easy to walk by and ignore them. And it's not just the homeless. It's those in our church that are in need. It's those in your circle of influence that are in need. It's your friends. It's your coworkers. It's easy to not get into those questions with them and get personal. It's the same thing as walking by a homeless person, except you work side by side them, but you just don't go there. Because why? It's uncomfortable. When you're vulnerable, it's uncomfortable. When someone is vulnerable to you, it's uncomfortable. And we have to work past that. We have to get past the uncomfortable. And we have to move into that it doesn't matter how we feel. It's about what God wants for their lives. And it's being that light and that example and that love, just as Christ loved us. And so grabbing on to Westwind's vision of our community means getting serious about serving those around you, they're around us, and in our circle of influence. We need to be a group of people that not only evangelize and disciple others, but also offer hands of hope to those who are suffering without strings attached. You don't even need a thank you. You don't need that. If someone is in need, who cares if they thank you? A thank you is for you. And if they don't give it to you and you know you're doing the right thing, you don't need that. When you give a gift, expect nothing. And that's throughout Scripture. It's not about what we get out of it. It's about what we do for them. And it's the love that we show. And so how do we serve others? Very simply, you serve them right where you are. Right where you are. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. There's an article I read a long time ago in Reader's Digest. And if, for those of you who don't know that, I'm dating myself, okay? So settle her down. But the Reader's Digest always has, you know, stories of you know, great things that have happened and people's lives. It's interesting. Anyways, in this story, there was a sergeant who was there, and they were doing a Marine, like a Army-Navy Marine exercise. And he was trying to figure out, and the sergeant asked the lieutenant, where's my foxhole? And to most of us, you think of a fox living in a hole, no big deal. Well, in this particular discussion, he said, the one person said, I don't know where your foxhole is. And then he asked the other officer, and he said, where's my foxhole? And he said, you're standing on it. All you have to do is remove the dirt. Sometimes when you are in the middle of it, you don't see it. Sometimes when you're standing in an opportunity, you miss it. And just like this foxhole, it's right underneath. You just have to move the dirt from here to there. And in your lives, there are opportunities that you've missed because you've been standing on it and not doing anything about it. You haven't removed the dirt. And it's time, you know, forget the past, but it's time we took those opportunities and we jumped on it and we did it. And we started pouring into people's lives. And so right where you are, no matter where you are, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether you're retired, doesn't matter. There are opportunities for you to serve where you are, in your church, in your community. There's so many needs out there. There's no possible way we could fill them all, but you individually can fill a lot of them in your area and circle of influence. In our church, many times we wonder, well, where can I serve? And honestly, serve right where you are. Let's get to work. Dig in and see how God can use you. Sometimes it's right in your own home and you've missed it. Right in your own home with your own family, your church, your community. There's so many. We have people in our church that drive into Vancouver and feed the homeless. We have people in our church that just drive down the street and help out with Pacific Community Church and feed the homeless. There are opportunities everywhere. We have people that go to the food bank and set that up and help people and meet a lot of people and interact with a lot of people there. There are opportunities for you to serve. And I guarantee you, when you're helping others, you'll reap the benefits and a new perspective of other people's lives. The places that people live in can be atrocious. They need an outreach. They need someone. Anytime I'm dealing with a patient in a really nasty situation where it's just gross and dirty, and honestly, you wouldn't let your dogs live there. Maybe your cats. I don't like cats. Sorry, cat lovers. You wouldn't let them live there. It's so bad. But what do? I give them a hug. No one has touched them in I don't know how long, other than a doctor. No one. And they just break every time. And it's unbelievable. I was dealing with a lady, actually last night, who had dementia. And I've been through all this, so it was interesting. And other people were getting frustrated with her. They're just getting really frustrated with it because she says, she hurts. Where do you hurt? My leg. Well, earlier you said it was your chest. Is it your chest or your leg? The flowers are ready to be picked. What? Flowers? Yeah. She's like, right over there. And I'm like, what color are they? Are they beautiful? Like, on and on. There's places where you can reach out to people, little things like that. I just held her hand, walked her through some stuff. She forgot. I don't need her to know, just that she knows. And God knows that someone was there, and they weren't afraid to touch her. So, in your community, there are people that need a touch. There are people, and it's not necessarily physical. It can be just eye contact and a smile. There's so many ways you could reach out, and it opens up a door in many different ways. So serve where you are, wherever you are in your daily grind. People are watching you. When you go get that coffee in the morning, when you go get fuel, you know, one thing happened to one of my family members years ago, and it was a bad reaction from him. It should have never happened, but he reacted the wrong way. But here's why. It was cold out. He was a gas attendant. He was pumping fuel. And the senior pastor of my church at the time drove up and just stuck his card through this much of a crack, handed it to him, said, fill it up. Didn't say hello, didn't acknowledge him in any way, and then rolled up the window again. This is back in the day when you could do that. And from that point on, he shouldn't have reacted this way, but he got angry because he didn't even say hello. He didn't even look him in the eye. He just looked straight forward. It impacted him and has forever. And it's not necessarily the pastor's fault. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of personal things between all of them. Maybe the pastor was stressed that day. He had a long day. I've been there, and you just don't want to be where you are because you're frustrated, so you just, meh, right? But it impacts others, and I have to continually remind myself, what if that happens? I can't be like that. Do I screw up sometimes? Yes, I do. And then I kick myself for it, and I say, I'm not doing that again. It's an inner battle. And so I don't want to impact somebody in that way. How do we serve others? You serve them with compassion. How many people know people that need help? And it's really hard to be compassionate. Do you know any people in your life? You don't have to. Compassion is difficult, especially when you see a way out, when you see an opportunity for them to change their lives, and they don't do it. That's not compassion, that's frustration. But compassion is important to keep. In verse 45, he replies, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. The least of these. It's really easy to not want to have compassion for others. Well, you did that to yourself. You chose to go that path. You chose to make those decisions, so it's your own fault. But we're not living in their shoes. We don't know the circumstances. And when you see how they live, you may have a different perspective when you have compassion for them. And when they open up to you, you go, oh, I get it now. I see why they're this way. So what do? You show them love. You show them love. We often wonder how we can change our world and how we can become a part of the community within us. And we think about the community we used to know. Well, it comes by helping others grow in Jesus-centered compassion. Imagine if all of us lived lives that were full of compassion. What the difference it would make out there. But you say, you know, I get caught up. I get caught up in my own stuff. I got things going on. And it's true. We all have stresses. Everybody's stress level is different, and everybody can handle different levels of stress. But what if you put your own feelings aside and thought about the others first? What would that do for your city? What would that do for our community? What would that do for your workplace? What would that do for your school, for your family? What would it look like? I want you to think about it. This week, consider explaining why you believe what you believe and how your calling, whatever your ministry is, your gifting, how that can be used in the local church to help serve our community here and our community outside there. And that's why today we brought the jackets and the sleeping bags. And you may say, well, they just take it out of the clothing bins anyways. Yeah, they do, because they're cold and they don't have one. Because they raid those things all the time. They damage property. Because if you were cold, what would you do? Hey, I know where there's some free clothes in a whole bunch of these red bins everywhere. And you'd go get them. So I can't blame them. Yeah, it's irritating. But I can't blame them. So today, I want you to think about serving where you are, whatever that looks like, and leading with compassion, and how that's going to look in your life. Think about it this week. Ask God to show you your ministry, your giftings, what that looks like, and how you can tie that in. Bill came to me with an idea, and it was perfect. Perfect for what's going on right around our community. Are there other things we could do? Yes, there are. But this one works. It's practical. And we give without expecting a thank you. We give without knowing where that goes. Just knowing that someone's going to get it and they'll be warm this season when it's cold. And it's going to get worse. So think about that this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you that we have the opportunity to reach out to our community, whatever that looks like in our world. Help us to live and lead with compassion for others in their situations. Help us to put the shoe on the other foot and see from what they do and why they do what they do. And also I pray for everyone here that they will be given open doors to speak into people's lives and to impact them for you. That people will wonder, why is that person so compassionate and caring? And they'll see Jesus. So I thank you for what you have done in the past. I thank you for what you're doing right now, but I am excited about what you're going to do in the future. We thank you for this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing a redemption song. There's a fire.